This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
I almost was a Baltimore Raven, though. I really committed to the Ravens and was finna go. Then Dom called me and said, Slay, I want you here, da-da-da. And I'm like, you know what, Dom? If you calling me, Dom, I'm coming back.
And that's Darius Slay. What, how many years ago was that, Joe? Two years ago. Word is the Philadelphia Eagles, not word, it's just going to happen. They're going to cut him. They're going to release him.
Are they going to try to trade him first, or is it just sound
no,
like...
No, they just say the release. That's all we're reading right now. If they do trade him, that's not what's out there right now.
But that's what's funny. Like the Jets said, hey, we want to trade Devontae Adams, but if we don't trade him, we're going to release him. The only reason to give up a pick is if you don't want him hitting the open market
right.
And want to compete for it, especially if you're a good team. But I don't know, man. Like,
you just turned 34 years old. Are you interested?
I'm not saying I'm not interested, but I'm also not saying I'm interested. Like, yeah. If that's where they end up and he ends up being another cornerback on this team, like, I'm good with that. But it's a dangerous game when you're starting to take vets at that position,
right.
At that age, because I feel like his star faded a little bit in Philly. Not a bad corner. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to trash Big Play Slay. I mean, he was a very, very good player with the Lions. And as you and I were talking off the air,
I think he ends up back in Detroit.
I think that makes a ton of sense. Finish his career there. They're a good team. They need help in the secondary. I mean, who doesn't need help in the secondary?
And for the record, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Again, like, it's one of those things, if he's a depth piece, I'm fine with it. But I still think Nate Wiggins is going to turn into a really, really good corner. We just
got to
see.
Can we give that a chance? It seems like, you know what I mean, he's being forgotten. I'm with you. Can we just give it a chance?
Yeah.
The guy was in his first year. There's some things that he's going to do in the offseason, get a little bigger, just, you know, work on his body a little bit more.
Saw a lot of things I like, though.
But I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Darius Slay.
Where did he go to school?
Darius Slay went to school.
No, not Darius Slay.
State.
We were talking about
SEC.
We were talking about Wiggins.
Yeah, I don't know. He went to some community college.
Yeah, as one of a guy that used to work here, he used to pluralize it. Hey, what you think Clemson's is going to do this weekend? And before you ask, I'm losing points. Not you.
Oh,
Clemson's. I was like, there's two of them? What are you talking about?
You know the expression from South Carolina Gamecock fans, don't you?
What's that?
All dirt roads lead to Clemson.
I wish I grew up in one of those areas where it's like, I hate you and you hate me, no matter what. Like Auburn, Alabama, when you think of that rivalry with Clemson and South Carolina, there's some good ones in the Big Ten too, but I don't think they apply unless it's a same state.
It was. I found out the first time I heard a lot, was from my uncle. He was driving down a road. He lived in a rural area, and it was one road that was unpaved. He said, "See, that's still the only unpaved road in this area, son." I said, "Yeah." So, what's the name of that road? Because most of the roads down there are named after the family. I said, "What's the name of that road?" He said, "I don't know, but it leads to Clemson." I said, That I said, we're a long way from Clemson. That road, he said, all dirt roads lead to Clemson.
So let me ask you this before we get back to the point with Slay. When it comes to being like a Clemson, South Carolina fan, do you get to pick or does your family kind of decide for you? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much pressure.
You know what? That's a great question because my family decided for me. Again, going back to my uncle, he's Yoda, by the way. Mm-hmm. My uncle's Yoda. You know, he knows it all and he's normally right. But he says, so you watch college football? I said, I watch. Who's your team? I don't really have a team. I just watch good games. He said, South Carolina or Clemson? I'm thinking to myself, I just told you I don't have a team. I said, I don't know.
I just told you I like watching good games. What are you talking about?
I said, I don't know. Really, that matters. He said, around here it matters. South Carolina, Clemson. I said, who do you like? He said, South Carolina. I said, well, I don't know. I'm South Carolina then. So what was I going to say, Clemson?
Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
I wanted to pivot.
Well,
I wasn't going to do a counter trade here.
See, me, I was the black sheep in my family. So if my dad's like, the sky's blue, I'm going to tell him it's green just because.
No, that was me and my stepdad. Okay. I told you. He was a big-time Redskins fan. And when I was 10, 11, I became 10. A Cowboys
fan. Told me you became a Cowboys fan because of that.
Because of that. And I remember. Ooh, man. Then the Redskins had that run, Super Bowl and all that stuff, so he won. He got over on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Hasn't been good since.
No, it has not.
Now you're in good hands.
Slay, can he still play?
I think
so. Can he help the Ravens?
I think so. But, you know, you and I were talking yesterday about guys that just kind of hit the wall. And I think we were talking about Davante Adams.
Like, yes, we were.
Would you want him on your team?
No,
and
I won't.
I said something to the degree, like, it's coming. I'm not telling you it's next year. But, like, I think when you look at a guy like Adams, at some point you're going to go, man, did he lose a step? Remember when we said this about Allen Robinson and A.J. Green, where they were very formidable wide receivers, even upper echelon guys, and then a year or two later you're going, that's the ghost of him. That's not the same player. And
it was all good just a week ago.
I'm just worried at some point that's when you see Derek. Like, when he loses it, it's going to be obvious.
Okay, I never competed. Well, as an adult, I never competed on that level. You know what I mean? By my mid-20s, I was playing semi-pro baseball, and I played 2 years of semi-pro football. But I never competed long enough to feel my body decline. Because I stopped when I was like 29, playing everything on that level. I wonder how, do they get warnings? Because
is there something you see?
Yeah, is there something you see?
I don't.
Lenny Moore talked about that before. He said when he used to run and hit the corner, guys would dive for him and miss. He said one day he hit the corner, someone dove for him and hit his heel. He mm-hmm. thought, uh-oh.
It's happening.
And he was right. But I wonder if most of them, is there a sign? Is something happened physically where they know this is it for me? I'm on the wrong side of 29, 30. And that's the horrible thing about it. In any other part of your life at 30, you're starting to get smarter. Am I right?
Yeah.
You're starting to know what life is all about. A professional athlete, 30 is like, uh-oh, you're on the wrong side of youth right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, not all players are created equally, and I'll explain what I'm bringing up is like when they traded for Tre'Davious White, what'd you think of him? Not much, right? Like
much.
The Rams were trying to, it's like, I don't know what's going on. He was upset that he wasn't playing.
Right.
I mean, you go back a few years ago, Tre'Davious White is up for Defensive Player of the year after year.
Yeah.
Now, it's tough for corners to win it because you got to get all those picks mm-hmm. and hope that somebody doesn't have some amazing year sack-wise or tackle-wise. But like Tre'Davious White, he's 5 years younger than Darius Slay. It just makes me wonder, when does he hit that wall?
Yeah.
And again, it's not going to be my first thing that I want to get done is go after him. To me, that's the meat lovers in the trunk in case they won't turn the fryers on because Tommy wants wingy. You know, like that's what that is. I don't know if that made sense to you, but
no.
Somebody out there got it.
No.
All right. Absolutely. I hope somebody's laughing in their car.
410-583-1057. That's the numbers. The difference of laughing with you and laughing at you. I can imagine a lot of people are laughing, but I think they're laughing at you.
That's what I love when, like, I see the line from Superbad, and I can't say it on the air, but you guys know what I'm saying. When my wife, I suggest something, and she's like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I said, okay, I'll just go F myself then. It's fine. Yeah, it's cool. Hey, have a good one. You know, and she's like, what do you mean? I was like, you just crapped on my idea, so you pick it.
For what we heard, you couldn't. Brenda Freeze joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side we study film. Kim McCusick from Film Study Baltimore joins us up next on The Fan.
time to break down the tape. Big Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
7:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick joins us. Ken, I want you to jump in on the conversation. First of all, good morning.
How you doing, Rob?
Doing well. Jumping on the conversation we had a little bit earlier, looks like the Philadelphia Eagles are going to cut Darius Slay. He's 34 years old. I'm not interested, but do you think that's someone the Ravens would possibly kick the tires on?
Right player, right price. There's a price at which he'd be okay. And we'll see if that works out. I wouldn't be.
I
see him
going back to Detroit.
Yeah, it could be. I wouldn't be real hip to a multi-year deal, and I think that's probably what Darius wants. And with players in their mid-30s and older, usually are getting a 3-to-make-2 or a 2-to-make-1 deal, and it ends up costing you more than you're letting your fans know. So,
yeah. I mean, I want to stay in-house and talk about some of this stuff as well, because we had all this talk about Ronnie Stanley. Where do you sit now with what you heard at the press conference and some of the things going on? Does it give you excitement? Are you concerned? Like, what are your takes?
Oh, hope is certainly higher on signing Ronnie Stanley, but the clock is also ticking. So 3/12 is the red letter day. If they get a deal done by then, I think they're fine. If they don't, I would say it's a lot less likely that it happens. So the other thing positive that happened this week is Alaric Jackson got signed for 3 for $57 million, so a $19 million AAV. I think that'll help set the market. Jackson, to me, was the better choice to sign. Jackson has a weird black mark on his record because he was suspended by 2 games for the league, and they've never said what it was for. Personal conduct policy, but they've never said what it was for. Hmm. And somehow the Rams have been able to keep it quiet as well. So I thought that would help set the market. Seems to me if Lark Jackson is worth 3 for $57, then maybe you get three for $60 for Ronnie. Or
because Ronnie's going to have to get more than that, right? Like, is he? Because I've seen a lot of lists that have him number one as far as linemen, but I've seen a couple of them that had, I don't know if it was Jackson or there, maybe it was a guard or somebody in front of him, because they did all the linemen.
I would say, honestly, that Stanley had a slightly worse season than Jackson this last year.
Okay.
Now, not everybody agrees with that, but Stanley is exceptionally good for working with Lamar, because the kind of pressure he gives up, which he mirrors very well and gives ground to do it, bumps Lamar often or gets in the cone for Lamar, is pressure that Lamar's very good at dealing with. So I think he's worth more to the Ravens than he is to another team.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, do you think the Ravens answered enough questions at the scouting combine to lead us to form an opinion of what they might do with Justin Tucker?
You know, 13 questions about Justin Tucker,
right,
for the two of them combined, which is, jeez, just a barrage for the two of them. No, I'm not sure they've told us exactly what they're going to do. They've kind of backpedaled off the zero tolerance policy language. But honestly, I some of the things that Harbaugh in particular said about him were kind of past tensifying, uh-huh, his career in Baltimore. And that was, he's been great. He'll always be great. But, nothing lasts forever kind of thing. That language had me a little concerned about it. In the same way, I think people are concerned about the Mark Andrews language.
Hey, Ken, as far as some of the other things we've heard, like, I mean, we heard that the Ravens being linked to guy like Ashton Jonte, running back. I don't know that he falls to them, but like, I don't think they're the type of team to make that type of move knowing where they're at. But maybe they are, because like, if that's best player available and he slides, because I've even seen some people have, oh God, who's the other running back? I'm blanking now. Not Scadabo, but the another guy ahead of him. And I can't think of what his name is. So, yeah.
I don't think they'll draft a running back in round 1. Let me just say that. And there's a lot of running backs that have speed in this draft, a lot to choose from. I think the Ravens need a speed back to complement Henry rather than an all-arounder or big back. Now, it does obviously depend on how long they're going to be riding the Derrick Henry train, but I think the look now there is that it could be more than just this next year. So that's a possibility. And the major positions I don't want to spend a lot of money at, or a lot of draft capital at, I should say, are running back. You wouldn't want to draft another tight end unless you get rid of one of the two you have. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to do another inside linebacker, probably, any right at the top. And you probably don't want the very best available safety either, although we're probably going to talk about that.
Yeah, the other thing, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina is the running back who is, if you haven't watched him, I mean, he went to North Carolina, which it sucked, but he was so talented. So, again, I don't expect the Ravens to draft a running back early, but there were rumors about it, and I'm going, what's going on here?
Yeah. Ken McKusick joins us, Film Study Baltimore. You said not to get the tight end unless they get rid of one of the two they have. The writing is almost on the wall for that, though, for Mark Andrews.
It certainly seems like they've made a decision on that. I think the decision they've actually made is that they're going to go down to one of those two tight ends. And nobody wants to trade Isaiah Likely, but Isaiah Likely has a much higher trade value, and that's why you might do it. And if you can't sign Isaiah Likely long-term, if the number doesn't work out, then you might have to just make the choice. The Ravens are notoriously ruthless about that, and they end up having to make some heartbreaking decisions with their homegrown players. I think, first of all, the fans ought to be much more excited about them signing their in-house talent right now after year three, rather than going out and get flashy names from free agency, because their in-house players are great. I mean, losing Travis Jones, losing Isaiah Likely, Linderbaum they only have until May 2nd with. I mean, you know, they have a bunch of decisions they have to make on their in-house guys.
Well, yeah, and again, like, one of the things I saw you were writing about is overreactions when it comes to the combine and different things. I saw you wrote something about double catches for wide receivers and tight ends and backs, which I don't think people realize, like, if you're wide open and you double catch it, there's nothing wrong with it. But in this game, it's fractions of a second, and a double catch could be you securing the ball, getting your feet down and looking like a move, and then you get hit, and then you don't have it as secure as you want it. What do you think about some of the overreactions from the combine?
Yeah, double catch is also, you're not worrying about getting hit at the combine. Other places, you drop that ball a lot of the times,
yeah,
too.
Or it gets popped up, depending on how you get hit.
I think there's a lot that goes on. That you have the RAS measurements, and people are into that, and they're throwing out RAS score as if it's the be all end all. I do think the interviews are very important. I think that's something you don't overreact to, but we're not privy to those. So that's a problem for.
We do get to hear the dumb questions that get asked, like, would you rather be a dog or a cat? You know, what type of underwear?
Why do you think the interviews are so important, Ken?
I think that they, you know the old saying, this, if when somebody, I think it's a Maya Angelou quote that says, you know, when somebody tells you who they are, listen.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like that. Is people can tell you something and impale themselves on a question. We used to ask a question at work of people, is life fair? And let them just work with that. There's no right answer to that. There's a lot of wrong answers.
Oh, I've got the answer. If you need to know, the answer is no. No, it's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, because I agree with you. You want to find out what people are really about. Hmm. But even though you say the interviews are important for the fourth rounders. Mm-hmm. They're not important for the first rounders.
Well, I think...
Yeah, I mean, the talent overcomes them all. I mean, we've heard some dumb answers given by some players who were still taken high. And it's like the Wonderlic score.
Yeah.
You know, some of the top players drafted have gotten the lowest Wonderlic scores. Those, to me, that's how you sift through marginal players or players that you're not quite sure of, because he's one of five. But one of ones, it doesn't matter.
If you're right, if he's a top five pick, it's probably not going to come into play.
But it could make him a pick in the 20s instead of in the
right.
top five.
Right.
Yeah,
Rolando McClain, if you had the chance to ask the right questions to that guy a few years ago, and self-destructive behavior, the guy who got on the ledge for Tennessee, the left tackle,
yeah.
You know, you can sift out.
What
some
about
of that.
I'm blanking on the linebacker's name that Cincinnati drafted that should have been a first round pick talent wise, but he was such an a-hole.
Oh yeah,
that's
the
one that Juju laid out.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you look at those things, I think it's... Yep, Vontaze
Burfict.
But
it wasn't the interview that got him. It was his actions in
college. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there was... But the interviews would have got him, too, because that's who he was. And I just look at some of the guys coming into the draft. Like, they've talked about how important it is to sit down and talk with these guys, because I do think... I don't know that you're going to improve your draft stock all that much, but I think you can hurt it.
Right. I do, too. Sergio Kindle was a guy... The falling down the stairs was the incident that actually... You know, basically ruined his Ravens career, but he'd been involved in a hit and run accident. I want to say he's the one. If I'm getting this wrong, I'm apologizing already. But he's involved in some sort of hit and run accident in college, and they were explaining that at the State of the Ravens event. And Harbaugh was in the interview room. He was explaining the interview process, and he said that he had a very innocent description, and he was, you know, willing to go to a board and show you where the cars were and what happened. What he wasn't able to answer adequately is why he left the scene.
And, nobody was there to talk to.
Brendan DeFries joins us at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, more of Ken McCusick's thoughts on the scouting combine and what it might do for the Ravens and their draft choices. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:30 in the a.m. on this Taco Tuesday. I want some tacos tonight. I want tacos today. I might do tacos for lunch, Jeremy.
Really?
Because I got to go to Bladensburg tonight. Probably won't get back in time.
Bladensburg?
Bladensburg.
Oh, I know where that is.
Elizabeth Seton High School. Ken McCusick, I'm probably going to put you on the spot with this.
Uh-oh.
The NFL scouting combine as we know it. Necessary, unnecessary, or just needs to be tweaked a lot. It could be necessary and needs to be tweaked.
Yeah, there's limited things you can learn from non-contact competition.
Yes.
So obviously drills are what they are. I think, and we just mentioned before the break about overreacting to the combine. I think there's two things that are good examples for that. One is how little you can see about get off. 40 yard dash, even the 10 yard split doesn't give you get off. So you have a defensive end, and Adafi Owe is unfortunately the guy I'm going to hit on here. He's never really had the great get off at the NFL level. Unbelievable, freakish combine stats, but not a guy who you could count on for great get off, and it's held him back as a pass rusher in the NFL. So even a guy who has a great 10-yard split, you know, 40 time, you know, he moves like he's made of rubber or something. Even those guys are you can't see everything about him without watching a lot of tape. The other thing is, I think people who watch tape a lot, and this is just my own personal feeling, is that they over-rely on their own eyes and they under-rely on the statistical component of their college play. There's a whole lot of information out there about there, and people convince themselves they can make excuses for players and whatnot at the college level. So there's a lot of weakness in both systems, but I think the combine needs changes.
Ken, I think it may have been you, but the safety out of South Carolina and seeing what's going on, there are some people have said almost like, hey, nobody let the Chiefs get Isaiah Worthy, because putting that speed with that group is like, don't let it happen. And the Bills trade and they get him. Some people said it feels like it'd be a cheat code in that defensive backfield with him and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people say that there's no way he falls to the Ravens. What are your thoughts?
I don't think he falls to the Ravens either. I think he priced himself out draft capital wise with the performance. A freakish athlete, Nick Imanwari, we're talking about here. 438, 43 inch vertical, 11'6" broad. He says how much he likes.
That's a tall girl.
Yeah.
Says how much he likes Kyle Hamilton. He's incredibly versatile. He's one of these slot strong safety, probably could play free safety guys. It's not exactly what the Ravens need. The Ravens don't need versatility. They got three hyper versatile defensive backs. They need a guy who can play free safety.
Yeah, specialist. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Kim McCusick joins us. FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, is there a guy that just maybe you did not know of and all of a sudden he jumped off the page for you and became a star is born, so to speak, in the scouting combine?
One guy that I think I'd known less about, Jahdae Barron of Texas. Terrific guy. Absurd college production. I just looked at this after seeing the combine stuff, but this last year, zero TDs, five interceptions, a 34.2 opposition passer rating, 4.2 yards per target. What I look for in part when I'm going through this is I want to see great athletic measurables, but I want to see them corroborated by fantastic coverage stats in college. There was a safety last year, and I'm forgetting the name, but he went in about the third round, who had given up 13 yards per target. And despite that, he'd had five interceptions among six total incomplete passes thrown his way all season. It was like 28 of 34 were complete in his direction. And he went fairly highly. It was a total deal breaker for me in terms of seeing
that. Because that feels like I'm picking on you because I know I can get the pass there, and you got, I don't want to say you got lucky, you made five plays, you know, it is weird to look at those things. I did like in your notes that you had two guys from Texas on there, because I thought they had the best defense in college football last year, and at times just dominating. But when we get to this point of it, where do you think, is there like tremendous value in this draft at a certain position? Are they very deep? Because the one thing I keep going back to is go ahead and draft all those quarterbacks. Go ahead. Draft them all in front of them. But I feel like the Ravens are going to have an excellent chance of somebody sliding to them. And I also think I'd almost rather be picking in the 20s this year.
Yeah,
I know it sounds silly, but like I just think that because you always want to pick higher, but I don't think it's
I don't think it's a big separation from front of to middle of.
And I think the Ravens are better than the other teams at drafting.
Could completely agree with you guys. Completely agree that you know, if you're gonna have to draft a 27, this is a good year to do it. Is the way I'd put it. But they have some guys. They might even get an offensive tackle late in this round. Kelvin Banks is out there. He's a possible slip to the Ravens at 27. I think Landon Jackson of Arkansas is a guy who I'm not really keen on at 27, but maybe if they traded back and were picking in the mid-30s, might be a guy they would like to have. Great tweener guy. There's multiple players. Shamar Stewart is a guy like Owe.
Yes, the
limited,
guy.
Limited college production, but incredible combine.
That's the one I wanted to ask you about. What do you like about him?
Well, I mean, I love the combine and what he did there. I mean, the 4.59 and a 158.10 and the 40-inch vertical. He had 3.5 sacks. That doesn't match his production. What's nice about him is you get him in with Chuck Smith, and I think he has a bigger developmental footprint on a guy like that than somebody else.
Did you make anything of Adafe Owe's tweet? Hadn't tweeted in years, and he tweets a peace sign, and we obviously had to talk about it. It could be nothing, but it's just weird.
I could not understand what that meant. I thought maybe new contract. I'll just say this to any players who might be listening out there. There are members of the Baltimore media. I'm not among them, but there's members of the Baltimore media who have automatic alerts on their phone every time you tweet something, including a change to your profile. So know that when you are changing your profile to take all relationships to Ravens off yours, and Patrick Queen did that when he didn't get the fifth-year option, that, or actually it was after the draft, when they drafted Trent Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows. It's 1:04 a.m., and media people have alerts on their phone for this happening.
It's what you have to do nowadays, Rob, when my wife and I have a fight, I scrub my Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody knowing we're together, and then I put it back up the way it's supposed to be.
When your wife has a fight, she scrubs your face, all right?
Yeah. She's right.
Floor and scrub your face.
I'm practicing. I'm sorry, baby, you're right.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, the Ravens have a lot of picks this year. Will this be a year that they use those picks to move up, or will they stand pat?
They don't have a lot of value is the problem, Rob. So okay. They have a bunch of picks in round 6 and 7. So I hear this. Maybe this is the year they have 11 picks. So they should be able to move up. Well, if they traded all 11 picks at once, they'd only get up to between the 10th and 11th overall pick. So that gives you an idea of how little total draft capital they have. You know, a 6th or 7th round pick, what I'd like to see them do is reset their draft. If they can trade a 6 this year to get a 5 next year, I think that would be a good thing to do. Same thing with 7 for a 6, you know, next year kind of thing. That sort of activity I'm always a favor of. So I would prefer, I guess, that sort of resetting where I think you get a lot of value rather than just, you know, trading up to get a player, maybe even overpaying in JJ point terms this year.
I think most years it's hard to kind of speculate who they're going to pick. We obviously love talking about it. And I always say whoever the talking heads are telling you they're going to pick, they ain't who they're drafting.
I think it's more difficult this year than years past.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Ken. So when they draft in like the mid to late 20s, is it just sit back and enjoy the draft and see what happens? Because I know we have to speculate because everybody wants to guess.
I think the way they do it is if they're drafting at 27, they'll have 13 or 14 guys they really like. The year they traded back, I think it was the year they traded back and got Dan Cody, or maybe it was Kimball and Cody might have been the same draft, Kindle and Cody.
Yeah. No, they were separate drafts.
Okay.
Because they were both out of the, you had Oklahoma and Texas and they both had issues. I think that's a similarity. Cody had the red flags because of health. But he should have been a first round pick because of talent.
They're both second round picks when they got drafted. I think they traded back to 43 to get Kindle and then Cody in the same draft. I think.
Okay, I'll look back.
But I could be wrong. And 2010 maybe or 2011, one of those two. But anyway, what was the point I was going to make about that?
Sorry. No, but about sitting in the 20s and waiting for the draft.
Okay, so they had 13 guys picked. So Ozzie said, and this is again a state of the Ravens, he told us about this, that at 27, the one guy left on their list was Dan Williams, who was a nose tackle out of Tennessee. And they talked long and hard about taking him or not, and then they decided not to do it. So even when they have one of their guys still available, they'll talk about the value they have and the opportunities they have to trade the guy.
Ken, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore and why folks need to be a part of it.
Oh, filmstudybaltimore.com is my website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. And the current series we're working on is looking at individual UFAs and why they'd be a good fit for the Baltimore Ravens. One per day.
Real quick, though. I think I know where the mix-up was. They had Sergio Kindle the same year they had Terrence Cody. Dan was in a different
draft. Oh, I'm sorry. That is who I was talking about. Okay. Terrence Cody, yeah.
I was talking about the linebacker out of Oklahoma who slipped and ended up being, you know, their pick in the second round.
Right. And he had, you know, Dan Cody. Really interesting career, but he could never stay on the field for the Browns. Yeah.
All right. Cody.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
What?
I like Dan Cody.
Well, my Terrence?
You remember Terrence Cody? You remember Terrence Cody's best play was a blocked field goal in college against Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I remember him coming. I think he had 2 in the game.
The same year, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the same week, Ndamukong Suh made a big play. Because Texas and Alabama had great plays by their defensive linemen to get them to number 1 and number 2 in the country. Because Texas upset Oklahoma because they were supposed to win the Big 12. And that was during Tim Tebow's run in the SEC. So both of them were like just came out of nowhere.
So the other thing with that too is like in just talking about Terrence Cody, the thing I remember most is I played in a charity softball game with him. And I kept yelling, I got it, I got it, I got it. I was playing first. We had Terrence play second because obviously where you put him. He ran me over, grabbed me with one arm, and then caught the softball and was like, "You all right?" I said, "No, you stepped on my foot. He broke my toe, my toenail, my big toe in half." Some bitch, man. That's a big boy.
Huge.
And then he had his issues with the mistreatment of animals, man. Yeah. So screw him.
Hey, thanks a lot, my friend. Kim McHugh, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Take it easy, guys.
Brenda Freeze, the great Brenda Freeze, joins us at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Morton, Tom, Felix, all shined on Monday. Have your feelings about these Orioles arms changed? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Yeah, I feel good. Real quick first, and then just got to mix in a couple of my pitches in the second inning and work with the man on, and which is good for, you know, trying to get my timing down. You know, try to throw to first one time on a pick and just normal spring training stuff.
All right, Roansy Contreras. Don't know that guy.
Yep.
Don't know who he is. Doesn't matter. Yaqui Rivera. Is that how you pronounce that? Yaqui Rivera? Yaqui Rivera? Don't know that guy. Doesn't matter. Those are your 6 runs.
Yeah.
Charlie Morton, that was him. 2 innings, no runs, 1 hit, 1 strikeout. Your boy Tommy, two innings.
Tommy.
No runs, two hits, two strikeouts, one walk.
Tommy boy, is that for me?
Felix Bautista, one inning, no runs, no hits, two strikeouts. Bowman, one inning, no runs, two strikeouts. Those are the guys that are probably going to contribute for the most part on your major league roster. Are you starting to change your mind a tad bit about these arms? Or maybe you felt pretty good about them in the first place.
Well, look, I think anytime you have a new player or a young player and you're kind of hearing stories about them, whatever, like it's very easy with Tommy and Morton coming in, like to look at those two guys and say,
we're going to got Tommy.
I don't know.
Like, that's his name.
They should
you
be
realize
tough.
That's his name, right?
They
now.
Should have Tommy boy shirts made for him. I'm sorry, but like. If you're looking at those guys, you want to see them, and you'd like to see them pitch well early just because they're new. But again, none of that stuff bothers me. Right. I hate saying this because I'm not trying to be the guy that when you come to about spring training and ask him, and he goes, yeah, they did really good at practice yesterday. They had a great practice. But they did. And I think you'd rather see them pitch well, hit well, obviously, and you want to put more stock into it. But I put zero stock into when they don't. Because it just, again, I don't know what guys are working on. Maybe when you get a little bit later in spring mm-hmm. training, that's when you start to see it when they're getting more and more stretched out. And you'll see a guy go four innings, three innings. Because ultimately, in the first month of baseball, a lot of these starting pitchers don't even go five innings.
No.
And the special ones, like the, you know, the old Max Scherzers or the Gerrit Coles, you might see them get to 100 pitches. But a lot of times you don't. You see them get to around 80. And maybe they let him finish the inning to try to get the win if it's the fifth, you know. But I think that's one of the misnomers with baseball that a lot of people, especially when you're betting it, that first month is a great month to take underdogs because nobody knows that they stink yet. You know, you want to, it was the old adage that you want to face the Royals in August and September and not in April and May because they don't know they're the Royals yet.
Can you imagine a manager doing a press conference and some guy's having a great April? You say, Skip. Are you impressed by so-and-so so far? No, he just doesn't know he stinks yet.
Well, I don't. That would be a very interesting team to cover, wouldn't it?
No, he just doesn't.
He don't know he's bad
he
yet.
He doesn't know he stinks yet. Well, let's give it some time. He'll figure it out. Or say, what do you think about so-and-so? He'll figure it out. I mean, he's coming around? No, he'll figure out he stinks.
Yeah. I mean, I think some guys have alluded to it, not come out and said that. But,
oh, my God.
Is there... Do you think we'll be pleasantly surprised by either one of those back end starters, Morton or Tommy?
Pleasantly surprised? I'm not surprised by anything Morton does. He's done it before. He can do it.
But I'm saying, so if you look at him, he was a guy that had an ERA over 4, solid, pitched the entire year. I would say gave up too many long balls.
If he's under 3.75, it'll surprise me.
Okay. And I don't care if he's at 4, like that's, you know, or even above that.
It's I think he's going to be 3.75 to 4.
Because I think he's going to have some games where you went, ugh.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to ruin his ERA, but I think he'll be solid most of the year. I don't know what to expect from Sagano. I don't. But my whole thought process is when Bradish comes back, somebody's out. And if Morton's still healthy, my assumption would be that Sagano's the one that's out, unless he's just pitching lights out. Maybe an injury works itself out.
Yeah.
But that's way down the line.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Let's go out to Rosedale and get the man right here. Antonio, what's up, Antonio? Antonio, is the volume up there, Joseph?
We got the phones back.
There you go. Antonio, you there?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Well, how are you?
Good. Well, Kobe, happy Taco Tuesday, guys.
Same to you.
Will the Orioles, Kobe Mayo, making the opening day roster? Will the Orioles, Kobe Mayo, make the opening day roster or be a trade chip before opening day? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too. I don't think he's going to be a trade chip at all. So let's start there. I don't think he's a trade chip at all, Jeremy. I could be wrong.
I don't think either one happens.
But I don't think he's an opening day roster either.
Yeah, I think the more likely thing is that he makes the opening day roster. I mean, let's say, knock on wood, I'm not hoping this happens, Ryan Mountcastle rolls his ankle.
Why'd you hit me in the head when you say knock on wood?
Because, well, you got it. But no, like if Ryan Mountcastle rolls his ankle, I think Kobe Mayo is right up here. But again, you also have guys that could play first if you wanted to play O'Hearn, but you could platoon him with Mayo. So the Mayo thing is interesting to me because, like, I want to see him at the major league level so bad and get that opportunity. But you also got to realize where you're at and what you have on the roster. And it's better to have more than less. And the one thing, who was it that we talked to that was bringing this up about, you know, the situation with Mayo, that they feel like they're in such a better situation because, you know, for example, if the Yankees lose a player, they don't have somebody to go to AAA and say, hey, this guy can, he can fill the void and be really good, or at least you hope they're going to be good. Where the Orioles have guys in the minor leagues, it's like, oh, one of the pitchers is down. Well, let's call up Cade Povich. I mean, he started for us last year, and in September he had an ERA over just over three and was solid. He's looked good in spring training, whatever. Same thing with Kobe Mayo. If something happens to somebody else, you ain't telling me you're looking down there going, well, damn, we liked to see him last year, even though he didn't play well. Let's just bring him back up again. So I think that's the more likely thing, even though I don't think either one happens.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Man, it's just an exciting time for this Oriole team with so many possibilities. College hoops, your thoughts on the most recent top 25. Maryland's on the move up, but on the other side, the women are getting ready for the Big Ten tournament as well. Brenda Freeze, legendary coach, joins us up next on the Fan.